Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Listening to the Middlesbrough Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, it is that time again. Your Teesside Takeover every Thursday, 10 to 10:30 on Love Sport Radio. And you can join us. You can have your say and be part of the show. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, it is a man I'm always delighted to get on, and he is very popular at Love Sport at the minute, but he is ours, our Middlesbrough Fan Show. It is the wonderful Middlesbrough correspondent, Stephen Jackson from The 12th Man. Stephen, good to get you back on. And actually, let's start with a little bit of positivity, because it's not been going well for Borough at the minute, but it didn't go the way with them holding on against Forest, but we finally saw a little bit more fight and a little bit more desire.
Yeah, well, it was exactly what I said last week, wasn't it? It was about time we stood up. We showed what we were made of. It took us half an hour to do it, but we kicked it into life and we showed a bit of fighting, a bit of desire and a bit of grit, a bit of Teesside grit. It was good. It was a shame we didn't hang on, but yeah, we battled, and that's exactly what the fans want.
Yeah, and that's all the fans have been asking for this season, and they even showed more character, really, because they obviously went behind to Forest, but then they come back two quick fire goals, obviously getting the equaliser and then going ahead before half time. Was there a point here, Stephen, when you was thinking, we've got to hold on there and we're looking good and this is ours for the taking?
Well, I didn't see the two goals coming. The two goals were a bit of a surprise. I was thinking, where's that 10 minutes coming from? But once we got into the second half and we did have that 2-1 lead, I thought, yeah, we've merited hanging on here. We've sat back a bit. It was a bit too deep for my liking, but we still sat back, and I thought, yeah, I think we've got this. I think we're going to get this win and boost our season and get us out of that relegation zone. But unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to be, and it was a bit of a weird one, because I think maybe was there an aspect from the players, maybe in their mentality, when they took 2-1, it was rather than, all right, let's not, instead of keep pushing, it's like, oh, we've got to hold on now instead. And they almost didn't know what to do in that circumstance. They didn't know whether to try to kill it off or just try to keep Forest at bay.
I think that's exactly it. I think the fear, it was a little bit of fear in the second half. It was a bit of, we haven't won since New Year's Day. I think the players realised it, the players knew it. And we just sat a little bit too far back. And I just think if we just took that 5 steps further forward and just pushed Forest a little bit further back, I think we could have hung on a little bit easier and kept the 2-1 victory. But I think they say the fear hit us a little bit. And obviously it was a little bit of policy. Obviously they got the equaliser. But it was a bit disappointing at the time, but when you look back, it's a really good point against a really good Forest team.
Yeah, and what did you make of the equaliser? Because a lot's been made from it from both sides. Obviously, grabbing, snatching it at the end, but he sort of backed into keeper Ainsley Pearce, and, you know, it was a little bit maybe gamemanship experience from him, a veteran player. Keith Andrews on the night said it wasn't a foul, but keepers, you know, they're there to be protected. What did you make of it?
I didn't think it was a foul, to be quite honest. There was a lot of fans that did say, I don't know why he hasn't blown, I don't know why he hasn't given a foul. But for me, it was just clever. It was a clever number nine bit of play. They say Grabban's an experienced championship player. He's got over 100 goals in the championship in the last, I think, 6-7 seasons. So he knows exactly what he's doing. And he just showed his experience against Ainsley. He's still relatively inexperienced. I know he's been in goal for Elstiles for most of the season, but he didn't show himself too well in that goal for me. So it was a very good little bit of play. And they got a bit of luck as well, because I say the ball span wickedly away from McNair's foot and then went to the bottom corner. But I didn't think there was anything wrong with the goal, to be honest.
Yeah, and what did you make of the goals you did score? Obviously, Wing getting a little bit of luck for that goal, and obviously Jested with his goal. Always, you can always count on a player, can't you, Stephen, to score a goal against a team that they just love scoring against. It was, we kind of knew it was coming, didn't we?
Yeah, we'll see, because I mean, Gusted scored. It was eight in his last 10 games against Forest. They say he knows how to score against that teams like that. So it was a great ball across from it there, great header across from McCoody as well for the first. But the goal of the game was the second goal. It was a quick bit of play from Pears. Obviously, Coulson got down the right, outpaced Watson, got straight through the midfield and placed that ball to wing. And we got that little bit of luck. It's one thing we haven't had all season is a bit of luck. And we actually got that on Monday night, and it was a great goal. It was a team goal, and it was so quick. I think someone timed it as 11 seconds from goalkeeper to the ball crossing the line. That is a really quick bit of play, and it was superb. And it was good to see. It was on national telly as well, so everybody got to see this style of play that Woodgate's pushing on our team. And it was fast. It was attacking, and it was exactly what we'd been promised, and it was just a great goal.
Yeah, because from the throw-out, starting from Piers with that, you know, the goalkeeper throw, how quickly, you know, it, all the way out to the halfway line, and all of a sudden, you had five or six Middlesbrough players. I don't know how they got there so quick, but this is kind of what we said, you know, stick with Woodgate. He's got a lot of flack and a lot of stick in the past few games, in the past few months, but he said, this will be a process, you know, it is a change of operation. We're trying to play football like this now, you know, it takes time for that to adapt, but we kind of saw it, even if it was in a small place with that goal.
Yeah, exactly. As I say, he promised us fast attacking, quick football, and that's exactly what that goal was. It was a great throw from Pears. It was a great touch and takedown from Coulson to then cut inside, use his footballing knowledge to get inside Watton, get drive at that Nottingham Forest defence. They weren't the quickest on the ground. So for me, it was a great bit of work. And then the pass as well. We all expected Coulson to hit it. He had the time and the hindsight as well to think, I've got a pass there on the left-hand side, played it in to win. Obviously got a bit of luck when Samba couldn't keep it out. But I say it was a great finish. It was a great goal. It was just perfect. From a Borough point of view as well.
Yeah, and Stephen, kind of a little bit like a broken record, every week I say, where's that spark coming from? Where's that light at the end of the tunnel? What will be the catalyst for this Middlesbrough side moving forward? And sometimes it's not always a win and a victory. Sometimes it's a goal that comes off the backside and comes off the shin. Sometimes it's a well-earned point to Forest. Could this be it now to help them going forwards? Because it's a tricky stretch. They're going to play teams in and around them. They need to kind of bottle a little bit of that fighting spirit they had on that Monday night.
You've took the words right out of my mouth, Charlie. Yeah, it was exactly that. It was a goal that we needed. It was a goal that we desperately craved. We've always had them. We've been saying for weeks, we've had them performances put in where we've worked really hard, put the effort in, but haven't got the reward that we deserve. We've always got beat by the odd goals, maybe two goals. That, I said after the Leeds game, it showed me enough, despite getting beat 1-0, that we did have enough to go forward and we did have enough to push ourselves on and get the results that we need to stay up. Unfortunately, we didn't hang on Monday night, but fans actually saw Monday that, you know what, we actually have got a bit of a fighting spirit about us. We've got 14, 15 players that will go, you know what, I can step up, I can stand up and be counted for. And And that's exactly what we did. It was just unfortunate we didn't hang on. But we can definitely take that into Saturday's game at Charlton and really give them a good game and hopefully get our season right back on track.
Yeah, and what are the fans making of it now? I know, because how are they seeing this? Because it is a tricky run. I think three out of the next four are actually Stoke, Charlton and Hull. And not only is it the teams in and around you, are also fighting in those relegation places. All of those games, Stephen, are away.
Yeah, it's... We haven't got a great record away from home this season. I say we've only won two games this season away from home. But these are the type of the games that us as fans love, our players love. It's a scrap. It's a fight. It's exactly what we've been preparing for all season. And we believe these are the type of games we've got to target. At the end of the day, these are teams around us. These are teams that are also scrapping for their lives, being dragged into this. And we fully believe that we can go there and we can get some results in the next three or four games. So confidence is starting to grow, and a bit of backing behind this team as well.
Yeah, and I noticed, obviously, on your 12th man and all the social media, obviously, just saying, look, whatever you think now of the Bald, Gibson, Woodgate and everyone, we just need to get behind the boys, get behind the lads, because it is a straight, dash to the finish line. And we've got those teams that if we win, not only does it push us away, it drags them further into that. And this is just do or die, really, isn't it? Sink or swim.
Exactly. You can have your opinions Monday to Friday, Sunday. It doesn't matter. Have your opinions then. End of the day, when it comes to Saturday, Friday night, Monday night, them 90 minutes, them 2 hours, just get behind the boys. Just get right behind them, because they need us as much as we need them. So they know how big this is. Us fans know how big this is. And as a football club, we know how big these 10 games are. And we're right behind them. We're prepared to fight every step of the way now.
Yeah, up the Borough, certainly. But it is Cholton then on the weekend. It's another tricky one, fighting for their lives as well. They're at home. What do you make of the contest?
Well, they're coming into this off a back of a really painful defeat on Saturday as well. Obviously, going to Huddersfield, getting beat 4-0. They say, we've played Huddersfield twice. We've got 4 points off them. I wasn't quite as impressed as some others have been with Huddersfield. So it was quite a shock to see Charlton go there, especially with a manager like Lee Bowyer in charge. It was a bit of a scrapper himself, knows Woodgate really well. He plays a similar style of football, tough, determined, likes to play the football, plays to play the ball on the floor. He's a footballing man, exactly what Woodgate's like. It was a bit of a shock to see them go to Huddersfield, get beat 4-0. But I think we can square them up. We can play man-to-man, play them 11v11. And I think really, really am confident we can go there and get a result on Saturday.
Well, you're confident you're going to get a result, and this question should be easy. It never really works out this way, Stephen, but what is your score prediction?
2-1, Borough.
Come on, the Borough, Stephen. Always good to chat to you, especially on the Borough Fan Show. We appreciate you giving us a little bit of time tonight. Stephen Jackson there from the 12th Man. Remember to not only check out their podcast, but keep supporting the boys, because it is a straight dash to that finish line in what is the business end of the season for Borough. But don't go anywhere, because we do have another very special guest joining us next on the Borough Fan Show.
Love Sport.
You are listening to the Middlesbrough Fan Show on Love Sport, the station giving fans a voice. We've got your team covered with Churchill Business Insurance, and you can have your say tonight. Why not join the Middlesbrough Fan Show? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, I'm delighted to be joined once more by our Middlesbrough correspondent. It is Phil Spencer from Football League World. Phil, always good to get you on. And finally, we have a decent result and a decent performance to talk about. 2-2 with Forest on Monday. Please tell me you are showing us and telling us of some positivity.
Absolutely. No, it was, I mean, I think that's very much a sign of the times, isn't it, when a 2-2 draw is seen as a really positive result. But I think it was a step in the right direction. It's probably the biggest compliment that I can give it. I mean, going into it, I think expectations were really low. I think obviously when you're coming up against a promotion rival, you're kind of fearing the worst, particularly when you're playing Nottingham Forest, who have a really good away record so far this season. I think, but obviously including that game, I think they've only lost 3 of their 19 games away from home. So they've kind of really picked up a lot of points on the road this term. So I think a lot of supporters were kind of fearing the worst. And although it wasn't the best of starts, obviously Middlesbrough went 1-0 down in the first period, and it looked like it was going to be an all too familiar tale. A late flurry at the end of the first half got them back on track, and although it wasn't the most polished performance, it wasn't perfect by any means. Obviously with the late goal, that was a little bit of a sucker punch, but it was a good point gained. I think it was something that they needed. There were certainly signs of encouragement, and hopefully they can use that to kick on in the coming weeks.
Yeah, we want them now to package that up and obviously kick on. But where did that late flurry come from? Because all of a sudden, watching the game, Phil, we're going, oh, Forest 1-0, you know, they're going to dig in now. They don't concede many. They don't score loads as well. They've taken the lead. And all of a sudden, we wasn't talking about 1-1. We was talking about 2-1 and a lovely little bit of fluid football, starting with the keeper as well. But I allowed myself, Phil, and hopefully the Borough fans, to forget what's gone on before and start to get excited.
Absolutely. No, it was a bit of a crazy few minutes, really, wasn't it? It was just something that, I don't think many Middlesbrough fans kind of expected it. I think, when they went 1-0 down, it was you'd kind of seen what happens before. It's been the same old story in the last couple of months where they go 1-0 down and they don't really seem to have that much about them to get back into the game. But I think one thing that they did really well was Rudy, bring Rudy Gusev into the team, and they kind of changed their strategy a little bit, and they kind of played a lot more route one balls up to him, and using his aerial presence, that was a real threat, particularly for the first goal. And then the second goal, as you mentioned, it was a brilliant team move. You got to give a lot of credit to the likes of Hayden Coulson, who was by far Middlesbrough's best player on the night as well. He ran at the Nottingham Forest defence, who, let's be honest, they were pretty poor on the night as well. But sometimes it's that kind of luck that you need as a Middlesbrough fan. And obviously Lewis Wing got the goal. There was a little bit of fortune about his finish as well. But I don't think anyone's going to mind when it's a point gained and a point in the I suppose in the right direction.
Yeah, you talk about obviously that positive formation. A couple of the changes, players coming in. We know Gested obviously with that wonderful record he has against Forest. But is this a formation and team selection that actually Woodgate might settle on now?
Quite possibly. It's one where, look, he's played, he's kind of muddled around with the team a little bit over the last few weeks, and you can tell by results that it just simply hasn't paid off. I think a lot of players in the team, particularly if you're looking at the attacking end of the pitch, they're just not offering enough. You look at the likes of Britt Sombalonga. Now, I know it's a little bit unfair because he's been injured for quite a lot of the last couple of months, but apart from his goal-scoring record, which, to be fair, hasn't even been that good this season, he doesn't really offer a huge amount to the build-up play and to the wider team effort. Ashley Fletcher, he's done all right in front of goal this season. Yeah, he certainly works hard, but he's not really that kind of physical presence. And I think when Middlesbrough are in the position that they are at the moment, there's an argument for saying that they need all 11 players contributing, even if it's not a case of scoring goals. And I think what Rudy Gusev does is he'll make sure that regardless of what happens, he gives the defenders a hard time over the course of the 90 minutes. But then you've also got to look at it defensively as well, and from set pieces and that kind of thing, he's the perfect player to plant on the penalty spot and head some balls clear at that end as well. So I think it's just kind of like playing a little bit smarter. I think it's not a case of trying to play free-flowing attacking football, although we certainly got that with the second goal. It's kind of just playing in the most efficient way possible, and if Rudy Gusev can make an impact from doing that and by putting himself about a little bit, then it could be for Middlesbrough's benefit in the next few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously after the game, Phil, Jonathan Woodgate obviously spoke of the confidence that Steve Gibson had in him. Steve Gibson actually saying we are backing him, we're behind him no matter what. And Jonathan Woodgate saying, you know, it's unbelievable how much he's been backed by Gibson. Obviously, it's not the dreaded vote of confidence because Middlesbrough are behind him in 10 games now, pointless change. But what did you make of all this, the timing of it?
I think unbelievable is probably the right word to use, to be honest. I think it was a little bit strange, to be honest, in terms of the timing of it, and then just the comments that Steve Gibson was kind of coming out with, because by no means you weren't expecting him to throw anyone under the bus. He was never going to say, if Jonathan Woodgate doesn't win against Nottingham Forest, he's going to be out on his ear sort of thing. But you don't really expect him to give as much of a vote of confidence when results have been so poor of late. I mean, the fact that he came out and he said Jonathan Woodgate will be in charge next season regardless of what happens, that's a heck of a vote of confidence to get when the team's without a win since New Year's Day. And I think it just kind of goes to show that regardless of what the situation is behind the scenes, Steve Gibson is almost giving Jonathan Woodgate a little bit of a free hit this season and saying, look, you are our man in long term. It might be a case of having to muddle through this season. It might even be a case of getting relegated to League One if that's what it takes. But you're the man who's going to lead this team moving forward. And I think from Jonathan Woodgate's point of view, it certainly is unbelievable praise, because I don't think many supporters could believe the comments that Steve Gibson came out with.
Phil, I'm going to throw a bit of a weird reference out there, but it's like Lord Voldemort. You just can't say the name. You can't say the word. You've just gone and said relegation, Phil. I can't believe it. I don't need it on a Thursday night. You just can't utter that word relegation. It is not happening, Phil, but it is some tricky away games that we're going to look at. Obviously, Charlton on the weekend, Stoke and Hull, all of those teams in and around you. But speaking on Woodgate and Gibson, because you mentioned they're unbelievable, it's a massive vote of confidence now at this point of the season. But realistically, Phil, what would bringing a new guy in now, what could they do with 10 or so games to go? There's not much to change now. They have to stay the course. If they were going to make a change, they would have surely done it way earlier in the season.
Absolutely, yeah. I think realistically, I think even before those kind of comments, you were kind of wondering that same thing, like what will a manager who's coming in do to help the teams get themselves over the line? I think if someone was coming in, you'd be talking like a Sam Allardyce type of job, not specifically him, but that kind of manager who would come in and basically shut up shop, make sure that Middlesbrough weren't getting beat in games, and if they were able to turn 1 point into three, then that would kind of be the benefit that came with it. But I think with Middlesbrough, the whole season has been about planning for the long term, and I think it's just been a case of Steve Gibson not panicking. He's saying that Jonathan Woodgate is the man to take the team forward, and so it's a case of saying, right, Jonathan Woodgate, you've got the team this far, you've got the best understanding of the players and how to get them playing and that sort of thing. See what you can do to get us over the line come the end of the season. And I think as far as votes of confidence go, it's certainly a nice position for Jonathan Woodgate to be in when they are in the relegation zone with 10 games to go.
Yeah, it's a massive game on the weekend. It is Charlton. There's a few factors going into this one. Obviously, the whole Woodgate-Bowyer connection. Who does that help? Because they know maybe how each man will want to sit up. They know each other very well, obviously. And some fans are dubbing this, Phil, the biggest game, this game with Charlton, the biggest game since that game with Brighton.
Yeah, it's I don't think you can really get away from it. It's a massive fixture. I don't think what happens in this game is going to be decisive in terms of the relegation battle, because there are it is the old cliche that there's still 10 games to play. It's a lot of football. There's a lot of points still to be won. So you're at the bottom end of the table, so you don't know how many of those points are going to be won over those 10 games, but there is a lot of football still to be played. But yeah, I think from Middlesbrough's point of view, you're playing against Charlton. A victory gets you out of the relegation zone, and it's more than anything, it's a huge psychological edge to go away from home and get a victory over one of your rivals. It's more a case of looking at Charlton as a fixture, yes, but then looking ahead to the next couple of games as well, because you mentioned it just there. You've got Swansea the week after. You've got Stoke City, who are right down there. They're in between Middlesbrough and Charlton in the table. You've got Hull, who are in free fall at the moment. So you're pretty much looking at over the next two and a half weeks, you're going to have a much better idea of how that relegation battle is going to pan out. And you're just kind of hoping from a Middlesbrough point of view that they are able to pick up some points in those fixtures, because they ultimately made things harder for themselves by not winning when had that run of games against Luton, Wigan and whoever the other one was as well.
Well, and they're going to, I love that, whoever the other one was. It's forgotten, Phil. We've eradicated it from our mind. It was so bad, we can't even mention that name. See, I told you, you're learning. Just don't mention that other word. But we're going to need the away fans in full voice, because obviously those three games are obviously away, the Stoke, Charlton and Hull. And Jonathan Woodgate said as much afterwards as well. I want to ask you on his comments. He said, I need the fans to realise that we need them. I understand they're not going to be happy about certain things, but they need to look at the bigger picture and look at us fighting to stay in the league. We need to stick together. Are we seeing then, Phil, the bigger picture here?
I think a lot of supporters are. I think there is a real understanding that the situation that Middlesbrough are in, it's not necessarily Jonathan Woodgate's fault. It's not necessarily the team's fault. I think when you are in this sort of position, it's difficult to get on the backs of the players, because a lot of them, they're out of contract in the summer. So there's a little bit of ill feeling towards that, because you're kind of thinking that some of these players aren't going to be here next season, and you don't know whether they want to be here and that kind of thing. Some of them are young players who, quite frankly, are in the team way ahead of schedule anyway, so anything they are really doing at first team level is a bonus. But I think as much as there was criticism of Jonathan Woodgate, and there was people saying that that he should be sacked and replaced by someone else, I think there really is a level of sympathy aimed at him as well. I think the hand that he's been dealt this season is really something of a dud. It's something where he's it's just a really tricky situation. He doesn't really have his best players around him. Yes, they've had injuries and stuff this season, but then you've got the whole argument over whether they're committed to the cause when you've got seven core first team players who are out of contract in the summer. And it's almost like when you go on you go on FIFA or Football Manager, and you can kind of set challenges to like the worst case scenario, and it's like going in and saying like, right, you're going to have all of these players injured, you're going to have these players out of contract, so they don't want to be there, and you're battling relegation. Let's see if you can go and do it. And that seems to be the hand that he's been dealt with Middlesbrough. So there is a bit of sympathy. I think Middlesbrough supporters, they do stay behind the team during the course of the match. They do let their feelings down after full time if things haven't gone their way. But I do think Middlesbrough fans are sensible enough to get behind the team and know that the situation that they're in, it is what it is, and ultimately they need to back the boys if they're going to get the results in the next few weeks.
Phil, who would have thought that on this show tonight we've got a reference into FIFA, Football Manager and Harry Potter? I mean, I think that is us radio completion. What is your Charlton prediction? There we go, full house. What is your score prediction for Charlton on a weekend very quickly?
I think it's going to be difficult, to be honest, for Middlesbrough. I think, yeah, Charlton are in a bad patch themselves, so I don't think confidence is going to be high at the Valley either. But I think in terms of going into this game, I think you're pretty much looking at a draw, to be honest. I can't see either side really having too much about them in terms of confidence to go and run away with the game. I think it's going to be cagey. I think it's going to be nervy. I think it's going to have a little bit of bite about it as well, because you mentioned there about the Jonathan Woodgate, Lee Bowyer kind of thing. I think both managers will set the team up to go out there and really get in amongst it and make sure they've got a team out there who can do that. So I don't think it's going to be pretty, but I'd probably say 1-1 and sit myself firmly on the fence.
Yeah, firmly on the fence, getting splinters. Who does that point help? Because they'll both still be in it. Always a delight to be joined by you, Phil. Phil Spencer there from Football League World. Really good to get Phil on. Always provides us with such good insight. And you can provide us with your insight on the Middlesbrough Fan Show every Thursday, 10 to 10.30, right here on Love Sport Radio.
For downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.